Good morning. When Jesse says that he was a wee lad, he was not kidding, man. When I knew him since we were just talking about with somebody else, I was talking about the first time that I had met them in the church in River Falls, Wisconsin, Abundant Life Church. Back then it was Communion of Saints Church. And I remember the first Sunday that Jesse and his family came to our church, and he literally was about, how old are you? 11. Well, he was younger than Jesse, or he was younger than Henry, but he was just a tiny kid. But you know, I was thinking about that as he began sharing with sharing the offering this morning. The first thought I had was, "Thank you very much, Reverend Jesse." Yeah, amen. And because he just graduated with a Bible degree, and that's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. Does that mean he's better than everybody else? No, it means he's a servant of all, right? get to work. But I still remember being in, as the youth pastor of the church down in River Falls, and we had a good thing going, a lot of kids coming to the youth group, a lot of exciting things happening. I had a number of seniors in the youth group, and they were all graduating, and for a parent that's hard. But watching a large portion of your youth group graduating, going off to college, and leaving, and they're your leadership team and everything else, I was bumming out. You know, I was like, oh man, I said, all these kids are leaving, and boy, what am I going to do next year? And I was feeling sorry for myself, and I was thinking about it, and God spoke to me, and He said, quit focusing on the seniors. I was like, why would I do that? Why would I quit focusing on the older kids? He says, because they're leaving. they're moving on. You're not going to have them anymore. He said, focus on the young ones. Well, at that time, Jesse and a number of others were in seventh grade. It was their first year. And he said, focus on them. And so I just began to do that. I began to focus on the youngest ones in the group, because then you have like 6 years with them, and you can spend time. It's about time. It's about being faithful where you're at right now, not always looking to what you don't have anymore or what you could have in the future. It's about being faithful where you are now. And that group of students, many of them have gone on to be in the ministry. Many of them are still serving God today. I mean, that's exciting. That's cool. And to see Jesse go through all the stuff he and Heather and their family have gone through, and the ups and downs and the successes and the failures and everything else, it's fun to watch, just like watching your own kids. So praise God. So before I start, I just want to give a greeting from Debbie. Debbie is usually with me. Debbie's my wife. She's usually with me, but much like she got left in River Fall or Lake Elmo this time, just like Amy did, got left here. But she has had she was on the worship team down there today and had to do offerings and different. She does the books, and she didn't want to work tomorrow, so she's doing that this afternoon. So, but she sends her greetings. So good to she's just looking forward to saying hi to everybody. But she misses you already, and just want to introduce a very good friend of mine, Justin. So Justin, go ahead and stand up. He's Justin Robinson is a good friend of mine, and came up with me today, and he's even a better friend of my daughter's. So just so you know, that just gives you a little background about that. They're such good friends that I made my daughter move halfway across the country. She's living in California now, and I like the 2,000-mile difference. It's a good barrier. But no, it's good to have Justin. He came over to spend the weekend with us, and I'm putting him to work. It's like a good friend does. We got work to do now. We've been having fun too, but I'm glad he's with me this morning. So. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I don't know why I keep coming to this verse. This is one of those verses where it's like I'm looking for a different sermon. I'm looking for something else to say, something new to say, something exciting. And the Lord keeps bringing me back to this set of verses. Not always here, just at different churches, different places that I minister. I keep coming back to this verse, and it's funny, because I was really trying to bring something different today. I was going to say something completely different, and the Lord just brought me back to this verse. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, says, and this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, that's the thing. We can, you know, come up with the greatest and latest and the newest, best sermon. You can have all the excitement, all the new revelations and everything like that. But bottom line, even Paul, who wrote 2/3 or 3/4 of the New Testament, said, you know what, guys, when I come to you, I just want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about what Jesus did. Because it isn't about how smart I am, because that's not going to get me very far. And I gave up looking, you know, trying to look good for a long time ago. It isn't about wisdom and lofty speech. It's about the truth of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it's really exciting as I come here today. So what we do is theoretically, supposedly, every time there's a fifth Sunday, we're going to rotate pulpits, where the different church or different pastors are going to move, go to a different church. And so last time was in, was that January? I think it was January, and Pastor John Moe was here, I believe, right? So Pastor John Moe was here in January, and Pastor Jonah went to the church in Grandy. I was supposed to switch pulpits with Pastor John Logan down in Prescott, and I got a phone call 2 nights before, and he said, hey, this isn't going to work. And he says, the reason it's not going to work is the church started in Prescott 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years. This July will be the third year. They had been running through COVID, through that whole year of COVID, they've been running one or two people. It's pretty rough. You know, I mean, when you go to church and it's your family and one or two other people, but people were sick, people were having to quarantine, people were having surgeries and had to be quarantined, and there was just, people were taking care of elderly parents. It's all, you know, life. You know, it was, life happens. So they were having to make choices. So they would have one to two people. He goes, is this even worth it anymore? And I was like, well, did God tell us to start a church here? And he said, yes. And I said, did he call you to be the pastor? And he said, yes. And I said, did he tell you anything different lately? And he said, no. I said, then you keep doing what God told you to do and keep faithful. So they were faithful, and they are amazing people. You know, Pastor John and Jen, they'll hopefully in the next time we do a rotation, he'll be up here, because it's good to meet them. Good to meet what God's doing through the different people here in the valley. But he called me a couple nights before we were supposed to switch, and he goes, hey, we can't switch. I said, why is that? And he says, I've had an influx in our church. We have a whole bunch of new people. And he says, it's not good for, he says, they just started coming last week. I said, really? How many came? He says, 20. They went from a handful to over 20. They're now at 40 people on a regular Sunday. Their children's ministry went from their kids to 13 in a matter of a couple of weeks. I mean, they, you know, praise God for faithfulness, you know? Praise God for just doing what he tells you to do and just keeping with it. And they're reaping the benefits of it. So we didn't switch until just about a month ago, and then we switched pulpits. But today you're stuck with me, and I'm just going to share a little bit about my heart. But it really comes down to, it's not about wisdom and lofty. It's about who Jesus Christ is. And I look out and I see today, I see a whole bunch of new faces. That's awesome. That's exciting. This church is growing. And you know, God's moving all the way, like Jesse said, there's a lot of amazing things happening. I'm going to share some of them that I can share. There's some things I can't share quite yet, but it's just good to hear about all that God's doing, because we're not just one congregation at the corner of 8 and 65. We're not just one church, one congregation at the corner of 17 and 36, or one congregation in Prescott, or one congregation in Grandy. When you look at that, we're these individual churches, but we're doing something together that is so much bigger. And it's amazing to see what God is doing. But as I look out, like I said, I don't know everybody here. There's a bunch of people I don't know. So what I want to do real quick is I want to tell you a little bit about myself, because not that I'm all that important, but my testimony of Jesus, what Jesus has done in my life, will help you to understand who I am. Because I get up in front of people, and if they don't know me, they're like, well, who in the, you know, I know I do it. When somebody gets up in front and they start speaking, I'm thinking, well, who are they? Who do they think they are? Well, you know, it's good to know who it is, because when they say certain things, you understand, oh, I get it. I get where they're coming from. So I just want to share a little bit. I grew up in the church from birth. I grew up in the church. We were in church every Sunday. My parents loved God and served God and taught us at home, you know, expected us to live a life for Christ. And we were in a really good church, and it was a congregational church. It was the conservative congregational. I mean, these were the, if you trace the conservative congregational church all the way back, we were the Pilgrims. So that's how old that church is, you know. So that was the group that were the Pilgrims, and they started the church there, but not that church. I mean, it was in Plymouth, I guess, but they, you know, they traveled, they moved, and then so we had the church there, and it was awesome, man. It was a great church. It was a church that was, they loved God, man. I mean, they loved the Word. It was all about the Word. It was about, not about my opinion, not about our opinion, but it was about what the Word said, what the Bible said. And Sunday school, I mean, our Sunday schools were amazing. You know, we had the flannel graph. You know, do you remember the flannel graph? Ooh, that was high-tech stuff back then. Kids, you don't know what you're missing. You know, you've got computers, you've got, you know, but we had flannel graph. You know, the flannel graph was a piece of big card or a cardboard thing with some flannel on it. You know, the stuff that you wear, you know, like your grandpa or your dad. I wear them all the time, flannel, you know, and then they would have cut out things of different Bible characters, and they'd slap it on the flannel graph, and we'd all go, ooh, that's cool. But they would tell the stories. I remember, you know, hearing the stories, the Word of God over and over and over from, you know, the youngest class. I don't know, remember what my youngest class was, all the way through. And we memorized the Bible. I mean, I still, well, sometimes when I quote the Bible and it'll just come out of me, it'll come out in King Jameseth, you know. I mean, because that's the way we learned it, you know. I mean, theeth and thouth and all the big, but it was in there. You know, we just learned the Word and the Word and the Word and the Word. And then, you know, I always tell this part because it's actually really hilarious to me, is in my kindergarten class, because I was in, well, probably pre-kindergarten, because I was 4 years old, the teacher was talking about hell. What Sunday school teacher teaches a four-year-old about hell? But they were, man, they were preaching this. It's in the Word. We got to teach them, you know. And I remember going home after Sunday church one time, and I told my mom, I said, I don't want to go to hell. And she was, and I remember that. I remember standing right where I was standing. I remember I was, well, actually, I was supposed to be taking a nap. That's what I was supposed to be doing, and I was trying to kill time. So I was talking to mom about, you know, whatever I could talk about, so I didn't want to take a nap. But I said, I don't want to go to hell. And she goes, well, that's good. You don't have to go to hell. I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, if you receive Jesus in your heart, you don't have to go to hell. You can spend eternity with God. You don't have to ever worry about it again. And I was like, I want to do that. I remember right where I was standing. I remember what it was like outside. It was a beautiful day outside. The sun was shining. I was, you know, I wanted to be out there. I didn't want to be taking a nap, but I'm inside. But we're having this conversation, and I remember that day praying with my mom and receiving Jesus. Man. It's never too young to teach your kids. It's never too young. My kids were born again at a very young age. One was born again in the Sunday school class. And then, you know, he was telling us, we were driving home, and he said, Daddy, I just received Jesus. I think he was four or five, maybe six. I just received Jesus. I thought, that's awesome, Ethan. That's amazing. And our daughter was 2 years younger, and I turned and said, Tally, do you want to receive Jesus? And she looked up and she goes, nah. Okay. She eventually did, you know, praise God. I don't remember. I think it was Debbie that led her to the Lord, but you know, however it is, you know, we why not start young? Why not start your life out knowing God? Well, so I served God, you know, all the way through grade school and junior high. And junior high, I was the Christian kid. You know, you have your jocks. And then back then, I don't know, you younger guys, but you know, don't know this, but you know, the older folks, there were the hoods. You remember the hoods? The hoods were the tough kids. You know, they were smoked out on the hill, you know, and they wore leather jackets, or, you know, back then it was jean jackets. Now jean jackets are cool. Back then they were tough, you know. And so they, you know, there were the hoods, there were the jocks, there were the Christian kids. Okay, well, there was one Christian. I was the Christian kid, you know. So I never got invited to parties. I never, you know, I was the Christian kid, and I was okay with it. I actually started a Bible study and a prayer meeting. I went to the principal and asked him if I could start a prayer meeting, and he was like, okay. you know, because it was back then, it was like, you know, separation of church and state, but, you know, and it was kind of fresh. And so they, but he let us do it. And so I was the Christian kid. I went through all the way through high school. I was on the wrestling team. I would pray before every meeting. You know, people knew to leave me alone when I was praying. You know, I was the Christian kid, which makes the next part of the story really, really weird. Because the next part of the story is like a complete departure of that, complete change. And I don't know, I mean, I have my theories, I have my ideas of what happened, but I went to college. And for those of you who know, I went to the University of Minnesota, or University of Wisconsin, Stout. Yeah, when in doubt, go to Stout, exactly. And, you know, Camp Stout, that was, you know, but it was a party. It was a 24-hour day, 7 days a week, 9 months party. And I didn't immediately begin to party. I was the Christian kid, remember. I was the Christian kid. But I started being there. The Bible says that good character is corrupted by bad character. Good morals are corrupted by bad character. And so you hang around with somebody long enough and you start doing what they do. And I didn't start out just blatantly sinning, but I started compromising. First thing I did is I quit going to church. Because nobody else went to church. Church was outside of town. I was going to go to. It was hard to get there, so I slept in. And I quit going. And then when they'd come and try to, you know, give me a ride, I was like, no, I'm busy. I have to study. Sunday morning, you're not studying. Then I started making more choices and more choices and more choices. By the end of that year, I had pretty much turned my back on God and I was walking away from Him. The next year, I was kicked out of college. I was told, you should really reconsider your educational goals. And I started working in a factory in southern Minnesota, and there I basically didn't just backslide. I turned around and I ran away from God as hard as I could. For the next 5 years, I just rejected God. At one point, He said, John, if you don't repent, I mean, He spoke to me very clearly. He said, if you don't repent, you're going to be destroyed. I was destroying myself. I was making horrible choices. I don't talk about what I did. I don't talk about that life back then because it's under the blood. Praise God for His mercy. At one point, I said, God, get out of my life. Leave me alone. I don't want you. He says, I'm going to give you one more chance. If you reject me, that'll be the last time I ever reach out to you. This is your last chance. And I said, good, get away from me. And my life took a complete nosedive. Man, it was a mess. About a year and a half later, series of events happened, really long story. Series of events happened, and God gave me another chance. And I realized my sin. I realized what I had been doing, and I was scared to death, man. I thought, because, you know, long story, but I was reading the Bible because I was like, what's going on here? God, do you even want me back? And I got to Hebrews 6, where it talks about once you've tasted of the good things in God and reject Him, there is no other hope. I'm like, I went too far. I rejected God. I remember when it happened. I remember, just like I remember when I received Jesus, I remember when I told Him to get out of my life. And I went back to my mom, because my mom was probably the most godly person I knew. And so I went back to her, and she was mad at me because she knew how I was living. She was reading the newspaper. And I went in the house and said, hey, Mom, I got to ask you a question. And she was so mad at me the way I was living, she wouldn't even look at me. And she goes, what? What's your question? And I said, well, I've been reading the Bible. And she went, oh, really? You know, put the paper down. And I said, Mom, I've been reading this. And I said, I read to her Hebrews 6. I said, what does that mean? And she goes, well, what do you think it means? And I said, I think I screwed up. I've rejected God. I said, I can't believe that He'd want me back. She goes, let me ask you a question. She goes, do you want to come back? I said, with everything that I am. Absolutely. I'm so sorry. She goes, big smile on her face. She goes, then you've not gone too far. I repented that day. changed my life. And it wasn't easy. There was lots of habits, lots of really, really hard choices that I had to make to turn around, to repent, to head the other direction. And one day I was praying and I was seeking God. I was reading the Bible. That's all I did day after day because I had no friends anymore because they wouldn't hang out with me. Once I turned my life back to God, and I was praying and I said, God, you said one day you weren't going to give me another chance. Why did you give me another chance? And he told me very clearly, he says, because your grandmother prayed and asked me to. It's good to pray for your kids. It's good to pray for your grandkids. It's good to pray for your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors. Don't give up. Don't give up. There's people that I've prayed for years and years and years. And I've prayed that prayer a bunch. God, give them one more chance. And he has. My little brother had rejected God, was a mess, total mess, living in sin. And I prayed for him, and because he wouldn't listen to me anymore, I prayed for him. I said, God, give him another chance. And one day he calls me up. He goes, hey, John, I wonder if you could do me a favor. He was living in Las Vegas. He goes, will you come out to Las Vegas? I said, okay, why? He says, I want you to come out for my baptism. God is good. God is good. He loves us. He loves you. He loves the world. He loves people. And he doesn't want to see them destroyed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. And it says, I was with you, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God is salvation. The power of God is taking somebody's life who's completely messed up and turning them around and having them live a completely different life. Now, here's the deal, young people. Don't think you have to walk away from God to have a great testimony. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. That's stupid. I don't know if you're probably not supposed to use the word stupid in your family, but I get to use it to this morning. It's stupid. Stupid. Don't do that. Don't walk away from God. The best testimony I have ever heard in my life, the best testimony was from a young man who said, he got up to preach one night. He was preaching at a youth group meeting. And he goes, I never smoked, I never drank, I never slept around, I never did this, and he was going through this list. I'm thinking, where is he going with this? And he says, I never did any of those things. He says, I've lived for God my whole entire life. Or I've been in the church, I grew up, but he says, I've never done any of those things, but I needed Jesus. And he said, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and he said, I've served him my whole life. He says, I got a pretty good life. You don't have to go test all the world. The world will kill you. I have a lot of friends from the world who didn't make it. A lot of friends. I was supposed to go to a concert one night with a guy and he never showed up. I'm thinking, dude, didn't call, didn't show up. I was pretty ticked at him Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm thinking, what was his deal? What was his deal? Come on, why didn't he just show up? He still hadn't called me, still hadn't shown up. I get to work on Monday morning. I'm looking for him because he worked in the same factory. I said, where's so-and-so? He never showed up for the concert, go with me to the concert. Oh, you haven't heard. He'd been partying on Thursday night, was driving 120 miles an hour on his motorcycle and hit a wall, drove it right straight into a wall, killed him instantly. You don't have a chance in that moment to repent. You know, people think, well, I'll just repent right before I die. Good luck. Not everybody has that opportunity. There's actually a verse in the Bible that says, if you've rejected, it's in Psalms, you reject me, and in that moment of despair, if you call on my name, I will not hear you. That's a scary verse. We don't put that one on our refrigerator, do we? It's in there. It's about salvation. It's about the glory of God. Serve God with your whole life. Why not do that and just live in Him? That's the way life should be. You don't have to do the other stupid stuff. You don't have to reject Him. You're in. Now see all the exciting things He wants to do. But it's not about being wise. It's about truth. The truth is, I wasn't perfect. Haven't been my whole life. Even when I was walking with God, I wasn't perfect. I had made choices before I even went to college. to walk away from it, you know, and just cheating here and there. It's not about power. It's not about wisdom. It's about the truth. And the truth is God loves you, and he's made a way for you to live a life that's worth living. Verse 6, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Although it is not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. Verse 7, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 2, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. This is about salvation. This is about Jesus. It's about preaching the word of God. Paul spent his whole life after the road to Damascus. He spent his whole life for the purpose of God. Now, he made tents. You know, yes, he was a preacher. Yes, he wrote the Bible, wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, all those sort of things. But he also worked. He had a job. He was a tent maker. You know, he made movable tents, movable housing for people. So he lived his life. He had to do things for life. You know, there are people that need to work in warehouses. There's people that need to be plumbers and carpenters and farmers. And there, we need the world to keep moving. But we all have, every one of us, students. You know, it's good to be a student. It's good to be a good student. Your brother's not up here. I'd be looking at both of you. There he's back there. You'd be a good student. Your dad didn't tell me to say this, but be a good student. But we need to have good students, but at the same time, who are you? And what has God called you to be? And how has he called you to live your life? He has a plan and a purpose. And that is wisdom. That is wisdom. Finding out what God has for your life, finding out who you are supposed to be, that's wisdom. You want to know wisdom, know what he says about you and where the direction you're headed. Because he has a plan for your life. He knows you. He knows you. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what makes you excited. He knows what bums you out. And he cares. He's got a plan that's far better than you could ever hope, think, or ask. And then verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Once you understand, I'm going to give you a piece of wisdom. You know, the Bible says right there, we don't talk wisdom to everybody. We don't just give wisdom to anybody. You know, Jesus, I think it was Jesus talked about throwing your pearls before swine. There are secret, deep things of God that you don't just tell anybody. But this morning, I'm gonna give you a piece of wisdom. I'm going to tell you something that is so powerful, so amazing, so wonderful. It's going to change your life. If you grab a hold of it and you walk with it, doesn't matter how old you are. How old are you, Millie?
Five.
If you're... Which one?
Six.
Six, okay. So if Millie gets this, there's some younger young. How old are you, bud? How old are you guys? Are you six? Five? Yeah, you, yeah.
Eight.
Eight? All right. How old's your brother? Four. There, I was going for younger. Four. Anybody younger than four? Oh, good. Anybody older? No, I won't go there. But whether the youngest person in this room, I mean, 4 years old, I remember hearing my teacher talk about hell. I understood what that meant. I understood what my mom was saying about God. I understood. So he can understand what I'm about to say, and it's wisdom. No eye has seen. Nobody's ever seen. Nobody's ever heard. No mind can conceive what God has planned for you. It's just unfathomable. It is so big. It is so awesome. It is so amazing. You might be thinking right now, my life is boring. I'm in algebra. And algebra is boring. Mainly because I don't understand it. I'm in my 50s and I still don't really understand algebra. I don't. But I figured out how to succeed and live it anyway. You know, there is life after algebra. But still learn it. Do you like algebra? I didn't think so. You just had that look on your face, kind of like, hey, I like this guy. But God has done something. He has a plan for your life that is so amazing. And it doesn't matter whether you're 4 or 84. Doesn't matter. 94, 104. He has a plan for your life that is far beyond what you could ever hope, think, or ask. On the drive up here, we had 25 minutes, and I was telling Justin a little bit about this church and how this church started and how God had been moving through. I couldn't have told you 20 years ago what I'd be doing today, but I'm so glad I'm doing it. I'm so glad I get to be a part of it. I'm so glad to be watching what God is doing, and it is more than I could ever hope, think, or ask. It really is. It's so much more. It's so wonderful to see what God is doing through other people. It's not what he's doing through me. I mean, part of it's me, but it's also you. What God's doing through you and what he's doing through you. That was awesome that you're leading, you know, part of worship this morning. I remember when you were a little kid. I mean, he's using people, and he's not using people that, you know, that are 30, 50, 150 years old because they're so old and wise. No, a lot of what's going on right now are through teenagers, young people. That's exciting. That trips my trigger. I could not have hoped for what I'm seeing today. And so I'm really excited about what's going to happen in the next 5 years, next 10 years, 15 years. What he has planned is so much bigger. All he needs us to do is believe him. Is believe him that if I take a step today, whatever that step is, could be a big step, could be a little step. It could be the choice in your heart to say, okay, God, and I want to challenge every young person in here that today you say in your heart, okay, God, I'm in. Doesn't have to be I'm ineth. Doesn't have to be in King James. It doesn't have to be formal. You don't have to come. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. And maybe I will, but I hadn't planned on it yet. But that in your heart today, you choose. You say, I'm in, God. I'm in. I want to see this. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to see what I can't even imagine how my life could be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20. I'm just going to believe that verse is true. That's wisdom right there. I'm telling you. That's the deep things of God right there. Is that he has stuff planned for you. Just don't walk away from him, my goodness. Don't reject him. Don't ignore him. You can ignore God and he'll not bother you. He's a gentleman. But your life, I mean, if you choose to say, I'm in, watch what he'll do. And if you're 50 years old or 60 years old, 70, 80, doesn't matter. If you're at this point in your life, you say, I'm in. Watch what he does. Because it's not about age. It's not about age. It's not about gender. It's not about social economic positioning. It's about willingness to follow God. It's about willingness to say, I'm in. I'm in. I'll do what you do. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll go where you tell me to go. And watch what he does. You know, and when I started doing that 35 years ago, back when I said, that's it, I'm in. I'll do whatever you tell me to do, God. I thought, you know, I felt like I had a call of God in the ministry. I didn't want to be a pastor. I thought I wanted to go into mission field. I wanted to live in a different country. That's what my heart was. I wanted to be a missionary. God had other plans. Praise God he did. I'm having way more fun, I think, than if I'd been a missionary. But at that time, I said, I'm in. So I thought, well, I'm going to go to the mission field. I need to go to Bible school. So I started filling out forms to go to Bible school. And every time I started to fill out a form to go to Bible school, it was like, no, don't do that. Don't go that way. Don't go that. Not there. Not that school. I filled out four or five different, filling out four or five application forms. And every time it was all the Bible schools, it was like, don't do that. I was like, what am I supposed to do then? I was talking to my wife and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Guy, I mean, I'm trying to follow God. And she felt like we were supposed to be in the ministry and she was thinking missions would work great. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? She goes, well, what about going back to Stout? I'm like, what? Stout is not a Bible school. Why would God want me to go there? I'm thinking, that's dumb. That can't be where he wants me to go. Stout. I was like, so I started moving down that path, and every step I took, it was open door, open door, open door. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I went back and got a teaching degree in shop. I'm a shop teacher by training. I mean, I can make wood stuff and some plastic stuff. Yeah, a little bit of metal. I'm now just starting to get into metal. I'm kind of enjoying metal. I still have a shop. It's in my garage. But I went to be a shop teacher, and I never used it. Why? Because a door opened for me to go into the ministry. Huh? Who would have thunk? Because I wouldn't have imagined that. I wouldn't have thought that. I couldn't have seen it, heard it. I mean, God can actually get me somewhere I need to go by taking me a completely different way? Huh? That's another piece of wisdom. Just so you know, I'm not going to tell you what all the little pieces of wisdom are, but that's a piece of wisdom. Sometimes God takes you in a direction you're thinking, I don't understand this at all, to get you where he needs you to be. He needed me to go to Stout so that my wife would go to River Falls, and we would live in River Falls, and I would meet Pastor Dan Dennison, who was a church planter, had planted a church in River Falls, had planted a church in Lake Elmo, Minnesota. And I met him and started going to their church. Didn't understand at that time. Still, no mind could conceive what was going on. And here we are. That was 1992, so 29 years later. Here's where I stand. Praise God for just saying, I'm in. I'll do what you want me to do. And that can start for you. You don't have to wait 6 years. If you're anybody here graduating this year, congratulations. Congratulations. You don't have to wait, do stupid things for 6 years to get back on track. Just choose now. I'm in. And live it. 11th grade, 10th grade, 9th, all of them. Start where you're at. Watch what God does. Because as you do that, he'll do things that you never expected. I had no plans. None. Zero. None. Up to 18 years ago, I did not plan on ever starting a church ever. I didn't even want to be a pastor of a church. Not let alone starting churches, helping churches start. But here we are in 2021, right? It is 21, good. 2021, we now have four churches. We have Lake Elmo was the home church or the mother church. And then we have this church started in what year? Because I was trying to remember. Was it 5 or 7? I think it was seven. 2007, this church was started by Pastor Dan Dennison. And Pastor Joan has been now pastoring it for 6 years, 7 years? 8. Awesome. You got a good pastor, you know that? And he's getting better all the time. Because he's saying, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I mean, we've had some amazing disagreements. I remember him. You too there, Denny? Yeah, you've had some amazingness. Doesn't surprise me at all. I remember telling him the first time, I said, I believe God wants us to start planting churches. And he looked at me and he said, there ain't no way in the world I will ever plant a church. No, I have no desire. He says, you do whatever you want. I'm not doing it. And now he's one of the most people that are poking me going, we're not moving fast enough. We need to plant more churches. And I was like, who are you and what have you done? But he said, yes, well, I'm in, Lord. I'll do what you want. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people who are saying, hey, I'm in. To do whatever God tells them to do. I'm not just planting churches. You know, maybe it's being a, you know, brain surgeon. But if you're saying, wow, God's leading me to be a brain surgeon, why would he want me to be a brain surgeon or an accountant or a plumber? Well, because God needs Christian believing we're full of faith, brain surgeons and accountants and, what is the last one I said? Plumbers. I know a guy. He'd be really mad if I told you he's a plumber because he's not a plumber. He's an HVAC guy. You know who I'm talking about. But every day he's in somebody's house and they're talking about, you know, how this is going on, this, and he goes, well, you know, God loves you. He has opportunity to share his faith almost every day. Hey, That's a missionary. But just doing what God leads you to do, being who God's called you to be, whatever that is, and look what he can do. We now have four churches. At the beginning of this year, because we have a vision to plant to have a network of 24 churches by 2027. This started back in 2017. So it's now been, four? This will be 4 years. I guess, well, actually, it is 4 years. It was in January or February of 2017. So we're 4 years into it, and we still have four churches. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, any time now. Yeah, let's go. Okay, here we go. Okay, now. And I'm just thinking, Lord, what is going on here? It's going to get to the point where I'm going to start looking dumb. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care if I look dumb. He actually, I think, gets a little excited when it doesn't work out the way we think it should work out. And he's going, just watch. Watch what happens. So in January, I'm going, okay, God, any time now. We've only got, seven more years. Six. Okay. And we've got one church who's got one person in it. And we've got one church that had, I think at that time, I think in January, there was what, maybe 30 people here? Maybe. Whatever, it was smaller. It's growing. But it was the church in Grandy was going through some really rough times. We had a church in New Richmond that we closed down. Like, we went backwards. We're not going forwards, we're going backwards. What the heck's going on here, God? I actually pray that every once in a while. What the heck's going on here? Because I'm real. And he just smiles. Because he's God, not me. He's God. And no mind, no eye can see, no mind can conceive what God has planned for those who diligently seek him. Called according to his purpose. If you're called according, are you called according to his purpose?
Yes.
Look out. Watch what he does. So then that was January, February, March. Tick, tock, tick, tock. April. Tick, tock, tick. Okay, God, any time here. May. Well, when did we have the RVF meeting? It was April. Was it May? It was beginning of May. First week into May, I'm looking at this. And I'm seeing the front part. I'm seeing Lake Elmo. Here's the vision that we need, you know, that we're believing for. And you guys, people have been praying for it. Here's Grandy, so on. Grandy is actually all three of those things. Anybody who's ever been praying for Grandy, all three of those things have happened. They have a worship leader now. They have a children's person who has stepped up and leading children's, and they are financially increased since you've started praying. We have to change the form because it's already happened. And then we have St. Croix Falls, which is hilarious because I see a whole bunch of things scratched out because it's been fulfilled. They still need youth leaders. Anybody ready to say yes, Lord? You don't have to wait. Don't raise your hand. Just let God deal with you. And Prescott. They don't have a worship leader yet, but they have financially increased. I just heard Pastor John Logan was in the office the other day, and all of a sudden I hear him shout. He was getting the mail out of his mailbox, and he comes in my office and he goes, "We're in the black." The first time in 3 years we are in the black. And I was like, "Woo, you know, here we go." So financial increase, new converts. Hello. 20 people. And there were some of them that weren't even saved. They were They were Catholics. And the Catholic Church in their hometown wouldn't open up. So they were like, "We need to go to church. Where's their church? Look in the paper, see where there's a church. Oh, there's one right here in Prescott. Let's go there." And they've been coming ever since. Hearing about being born again, living in the things of the Spirit. And they're starting, their ministry of helps is being fulfilled. So many of these things have already started happening. But down at the bottom, you still have pray for a new church plant, New Richmond, Amory, Northeast Metro, Forest Lake. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, we have four churches, and I don't want to close one. I don't want to go backwards anymore. What do we do? But we also want to go forward. We went into that meeting, and I tell this story now because I can tell it now. I went into that meeting going, God, I have no idea how you can do this. And by Tuesday of that next week, I had a series of conversations, And Pastor John Moe, we knew Pastor John Moe had a heart to start a church in New Richmond. Pastor John Moe is from Iowa. Oh, he was up here. You guys know Pastor John. But he had a heart to start a church in New Richmond. That church is well down the road now. They're having prayer meetings weekly. There are 30 people showing up for prayer every week. Money is coming in. He's not received one offering, and people keep giving money. There's over $11,000 to start that church already that people are just giving. Money's coming in. They've already got people signed up to be on the worship team. They're having people who are signed up to be on the children's ministry. Their team is moving. And so we knew that, but he's been up at Grandy ever since last year, September. He's been serving up there as the interim, and he's also working a full-time job at Chick-fil-A. And so he's like a little busy. He needs to get freed up. So we needed somebody who could take Grandy, and I had nobody. I had nobody. I'm like, Lord, what do we do about this? How do we staff that? How do we move somebody in there? And over that weekend, I had an idea. I was like, what if I ask these people? They live in Florida. Who in their right mind moves from Florida to Minnesota for the winter? Somebody who said, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm in. And I called them and I said, I had supper with them. And I said, because they were up here for the meeting. And I asked Dan and Marta Lewis, I said, you asked how you could help. I need somebody to take the church in Grandy to free Pastor John Moe up. And they went, in. Well, actually, Marta said, I'm in. Dan looked at her and says, he said we could pray about it. So they prayed about it. He goes, I'm in. They're moving up here in June, next or this coming month. In 2 weeks, they're moving up, and they're going to start attending there. And then in the middle of July, they'll take over the church. So that frees up Grandy. That frees them up to start the church in New Richmond. Also on that weekend, I was talking to. I got a phone call on Monday morning because there was a church in St. Paul. I don't want to go to St. Paul. I'm not a cities guy. I want to get in the country. I just moved to New Richmond. Glory to God. I have a pole barn. Life is good. I'm not a cities guy. I don't want to do a ministry in the cities. I don't want to start a church in the city. I don't understand that world. On Monday morning, Vern Norton calls me up. Vern Norton is 77 years old. Calls me up and he said, hey, I was praying last night. God told me three things. Number one, I'm supposed to start the church in St. Paul. 77 years old. Most people are thinking Florida, retirement. He's thinking, I need to start a church. And I said, well, Vern, you're an evangelist. You're not a pastor. You know, I mean, that's great. It'll be a fire. I can tell you right off the bat, that place will be on fire. He'll preach out there. Vern's been here, right? I mean, Vern's like, wah, you know, I mean, he's all in. But I said, immediately we'll put a pastor with you so you don't kill anybody, you know, because they need a pastor. But I didn't have a pastor. But I was like, okay. And he says, number one, I'm supposed to start a church in St. Paul. Number two, I'm not supposed to be there very long, maybe a year. I said, that makes sense. We'll put a pastor in there. They can take it from there. And then he says, when I'm done with that one, the third thing God told me is I'm supposed to start another one. 77 years old. I'm in. He's saying, I'm in. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And he's going to start at least two churches. And he says, and if I live that long, I'm supposed to start a third one. Praise God. New Richmond was taken care of. Grandy was taken care of. Now St. Paul, the one I feared the most. St. Paul was taken care of. If God can do that, he can do anything. So I'm at lunch. I was having lunch with Pastor John Logan from Prescott. We were having lunch on Monday, and I was telling him, wow, this just happened this weekend. Dan and Marta are coming up. They're going to take Grandy. And Vern just called me and said he's taking this. And he goes, oh, he says, did you talk to so-and-so over the weekend? And I went, no. And he goes, oh, never mind. I was like, wait a second. You don't get to do that. He says, I was having lunch with so-and-so. And he looked at me and he goes, I'm supposed to start the church in Forest Lake. And then we have Amory. Interesting. Ever since then, what's been interesting is last Sunday I was sitting talking with a young man. God's been one of the things we've been praying is that God would bring in the laborers for the harvest. I mean, if you're here, if you're new, if I haven't met you before, it's because people are praying. We need more laborers. We need people to be a part of the harvest. You know, God didn't tell us to start a revival. He told us to get ready for one. Why? Because the revival is coming, and it's not me. It's not us. He's going to do it. God, the Spirit of God is already moving. The revival's already started. We just need to get ready for it, because when whole cities are saved, when thousands of people are coming into the kingdom, and I'm saying thousands, I'm not talking dozens, I'm talking thousands. When thousands of people are coming into the kingdom, they need a place to get trained up. They need a place to call home and to be in a church and be discipled, to learn the word, to hear the word. And that's, we need people to do that. We need children's workers. We need worship leaders. Praise God. We need worship leaders. We need youth workers. We need people to just put their hand to the plow. I was a youth worker long before I was a pastor. I just love kids. I love youth. I'm glad you're in here today. Boy, nobody's throwing anything at me. It's awesome. You know, I'm kind of missing it a little bit, but I love youth. Why? Because they can say I'm in a lot longer than us old folks. But we need people. We need laborers. And we're seeing laborers. We've seen these. Our church has grown by, I'd say, 50% in the last year. In the middle of COVID. Why? Because we're in. And we got something we need to finish. We need to do. Now, we're actually looking at, do we need to go to two services? And it was great. My leaders, who have always said, whenever I've said we need to go to two services, they looked at me and go, why would we do that? I was like, well, because you get too many people in the room, they don't like sitting next to each other. We're Minnesotans and, you know, Minnesotans and Wisconsinites. We like a little space. And they said, why would we start another service? Why don't we start more churches? And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And since then, I was sitting with another guy this last weekend, and what got me down to that was he's from Texas. He moved up here from Texas. Didn't know him 6 months ago. He moved up here from Texas. He's sitting there, and he looks at me and goes, I think God wants me to start a biker church. I was like, let's talk. Okay, no mind is conceived. No ear is heard. No mind is thought. No eye has seen what God has planned. And there's also a verse that says that he will do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever hope, think, or ask. Well, I'm hoping for four churches, and now we're talking five this year. And going into May, I was hoping not to lose any. More than he could ever hope, more than we could ever hope, think, or ask, he can do exceedingly abundantly more. Watch what God does, but he needs us, because it's not me. Not me. I got one job, and that's to do what I'm doing right now, casting vision, sharing my heart, sharing what God's saying. But then each individual has to catch that vision and say, I'm in. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to talk about what you're doing, who you are, how great you are. Father, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know you, if this is their first Sunday, I don't know everybody here, but Father, I pray if there's anybody who doesn't know you, doesn't have a relationship with you, I pray that today, as I've shared, that your Spirit has been speaking to them in their heart, convicting them of their sin, and causing them to have a desire to know you. Father, I pray that right now, and I just pray that each and every one who doesn't have a relationship with you, that you can have one right this second. I'm not going to have an altar call. I'm not going to have you come up. I'm not going to sing any extra songs. It's a decision in your heart. Just like I was talking about how doing what God wants you to do is saying, I'm in. Same thing with how you become saved. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and with your mouth you confess that he is Lord, he gets to be the boss from this on. If he tells you to do something, you do it. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved. You can do that right here, right now. You don't need to have a special ceremony. You don't have to have, all you need to do is say, yes, I'm in. And Father, if anyone who prayed that right now, Lord, we just seal that right now in Jesus' name. But if you've walked away from God, and I don't care if it's one step, a half a step, or if it's 10 miles, you can come back. You've not done anything too far. You've not gone too far. You've not rejected him. I can tell you, man, I was somebody who rejected him outright. Said it with my own mouth. And he said, I'll give you another chance. If that's you, all it takes is saying, hey, I repent, Lord, I'm in. I'm in. I want you, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I declare that Jesus is Lord of my life. And then the last thing this morning, because you can do that right now too. The last thing is, okay, God, I want to see where this is going. I want to see what you're doing in this world. I'm in. I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll do what you tell me to do. Lead me, Father. You are Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. So at that point, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Tell me what to do and I'll go. I'll do. I'll lead. I'll serve. I'll do whatever you tell me to do, Lord. I want to be a part of what happens here in the years to come. I'm yours. Father, I just pray for this congregation. I thank you for these people. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for all that they're doing. Lord, I pray a blessing on this church. And I thank you, Father, that you're doing amazing things here. And you're causing the kingdom of God to expand in their hearts and in their families and in this area and literally even the states in Jesus' name. Thank you for them, Lord. It's so good to be in the same team, the same workforce with them. And I thank you, Lord, that as we watch, as we continue to be faithful to you, we will see all of it fulfilled, even more than we could ever hope, ever think, ever ask. In Jesus' name, amen.